I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the program today, Nancy Fowler is going to join us to discuss the interview that she did with a Ferguson resident who heard the shots that killed Michael Brown and witnessed the aftermath. He's now acting for the first time in a new play, commissioned and produced by a St. Louis group that examines the relationship between police and the African-American community. And on Soundbites today with Sauce Magazine, fried chicken. It may be more popular than ever, not just at home, but in restaurants across the region, and we're going to examine the why and where of all that. Well, the Nine Network's two-part special, City of Music, highlights the influence that the Gateway City has had on American music. Hosted by singer Brian Owens, it features some of our favorite musicians and past Cityscape guests, I might add, like pianist Peter Martin, who joins us now. Peter?
What's going on, Steve?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Along with the Nine Network's Vice President of Production, and I'll call him the face of Channel 9, Patrick Murphy. Hi, Patrick.
Welcome. Hey, how are you? Thanks for having us.
St. Louis is a music town. Does every city claim that, though?
I don't think every city actually claims it. And the other ones that do, I think, have a right to say it, as does St. Louis. So it's kind of a nice group to be in. And you definitely get the feel. I mean, the heritage, the lineage of music and music that was born here and developed is undeniable, but also what's currently happening as well. And so it's fun to be, you know, thrown in there in the mix with Nashville and Austin, New Orleans,
Chicago,
New York,
I guess, right?
Chicago, absolutely.
Each one has its own sound, and St. Louis has its own sound as well, and has made major contributions. And a lot of this I learned in actually producing the show, the contributions that St. Louis made that went far beyond St. Louis, that actually affected and changed the sound of American music.
Well, in this two-part program, Patrick, do you? I know that you're featuring a lot of musicians like Peter that we currently are familiar with. Do you delve much into the history of the music?
Yeah, we do. As a matter of fact, and in a way, we sort of do it chronologically. We start out with ragtime. You know, the fact that we are at the confluence of these rivers, and all of these people are passing through St. Louis, and particularly by the rivers, and how that developed from ragtime into blues and into jazz, rock and roll, R&B. So, yeah, very much. And then throughout, Dennis Owsley is one of the people who comments in the doc and takes a sort of an historical academic view of what's going on as well. So it's a show where you get to hear a lot of music, including a lot of music by Peter, including a world premiere by
right.
Peter. But you also get a larger context of how St. Louis, on its 250th birthday, takes a look back at the music scene.
Well, St. Louis has this important part in music history because of our location, right?
Yeah.
Because we're on the river.
Exactly. Exactly. When you have a large number of different kinds of people passing through a particular region, one of the things that they're going to leave is a musical legacy.
Right. And I think the when I first moved to New Orleans when I was in my early 20s, you know, of course, I grew up in St. Louis and, you know, used to drive by the Scott Joplin House. My dad used to work around the corner from there at Powell Hall. So you kind of take all this stuff, you know, for granted. And when I first got to New Orleans and started meeting the New Orleans piano players, which is such a great, rich history, and learning from them, they're like, where are you from? St. Louis. Oh, my God. Ragtime, Scott Joplin. And I actually started learning a lot about the ragtime influence on the New Orleans pianists from guys there. They're only a couple generations away from learning that. And, you know, the guys would come up on the riverboats. This was a big stopping place, and they'd stop for a while. So they'd go out, you know, over the weekend and meet the ragtime masters here. And that was a huge influence on, you know, people like Ferdinand Jelly Roll Morton and, you know, King Oliver, of course, Louis Armstrong. And it was just really a magical time where you could have these separate areas that, believe it or not, were not connected by the internet, as far as we know, but they were connected by the river, you know, and we don't think of that as an important transportation, mode of transportation because it's so slow now, but for musicians, it was a commerce thing because they were on the boats. That was great gigs on the boats, and then you go up to St. Louis, Chicago, good gigs were waiting for you there, so that's how the musicians met.
And it's interesting, too, because we talked to a lot of musicians who talked about how they were influenced, like Billy Peake talks about how he was influenced by Chuck Berry, Kim Massey talking about influence from, you know, Ike and Tina Turner. So every right. generation of musicians, and you could speak to this better than I could because you're a musician, but wants to learn and change and tweak a little bit about what came before.
Right. And, you know, I remember that evening that is documented in this great special that's coming up, you know, getting to play with Willie Akins, who was somebody that I met when I was about 12, 13 years old and was really a mentor to myself and my whole generation of jazz musicians, and is still playing amazing and doing his thing. You know, it's really great to come from a place where within the jazz idiom, you've got the masters handing down this music on them. I mean, he used to call me on gigs. I didn't know what I was doing when I was in middle school and high school, but he would have me there to play and learn the music and learn from him and get that St. Louis jazz
and tradition. Let me say, too, that I'd like to mention Paul Reuter here, because he was such an important influence and as a co-collaborator in putting this together, who knows music so well and who knows musicians mm-hmm. so well. It's a collaboration between Nine and the Sheldon.
Absolutely.
Well, we have some clips from City of Music, which is going to air on Channel 9 next Monday and Tuesday. In the first one, Peter, it's you and Denise Times. You want to talk a little bit about that? And we also should mention, I think, everything, all the performances we're going to see in the special were recorded at the Sheldon, I think.
Yes, last October.
Right.
And then we built from that many, many acts, a concert and then acts before and after at the Sheldon. Right. And from that, that's the heart of the piece.
I know you've known Denise for years, and I'm sure I've worked with her a lot, but say
yes.
something about this.
Well, I actually haven't heard this, and I remember it being really fun and really good. And I remember Denise, as she likes to do sometimes, showed up. I think this was the one when I was I don't want to say she was late and put it out there like that, but she was right on time. I was actually out on stage doing an extended intro until she came out.
So how late was she?
Actually, we almost got the recording of this performance here at the station late.
right.
Let's take a listen.
'Cause my baby, oh, my baby, he done left this town. Say I'm feeling tomorrow just like I feel today. You done me wrong. I'm feeling tomorrow. Say I'm feeling tomorrow. I'm feeling tomorrow, baby, just like I feel today.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's okay that she was late.
I think she made up for it somehow.
It's funny, you know, sitting here watching Peter listen to this. Like, I don't know if you're doing it or not, but you're kind of, good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
pretty good.
How did the idea for this come about, Patrick? Is there a backstory here?
Paul Reuter, Sheldon, talked to me about he was doing this concert and thought that it would be perfect to put on television. And, you know, so we had a number of meetings about it and talked about it. There's always that, how do you take an event and then turn it into a television show? Because there's this sort of gap sometimes between reality and TV, and worked on it and blocked it out and, you know, dropped in the interviews and came up with this concept of, on the 250th birthday, let's look back at a very important part of our history, which is our musical legacy. So, yeah.
Now it's 2 hours, 1 hour each night.
And on Monday and Tuesday, it's going to be from 7 to 8. So one on Monday, one on
right.
Tuesday. And then on the 25th, is that a Wednesday night? From 8 to 10. So you get a couple of chances to see it. And then there's some other times during the schedule that it'll be airing. And we're looking to distribute it nationally, too.
So you think we're going to learn a lot from this that we didn't know before about music and the history of music and what it means here?
I know I learned a lot that night, and I need a little refresher. I'm going to learn as I watch again for sure. But there's no test at the end.
What'd you learn that night? What'd you learn that night, Peter?
Well, you know, I was able to make some connections kind of cross-genre that I hadn't consciously made, especially between like R&B, hip-hop, and jazz, and blues. Which, of course, you know, we feel how those are connected, but to hear them in the different rooms right after one another, kind of through this filter, this lens of St. Louis, was really nice.
And it's not just music. There are a lot of interview segments in it as well. And here's one from David Robertson, who's the music director, of course, of the St. Louis Symphony.
We were really lucky that around 135 years ago, the people in St. Louis said, you know, if we're going to have singing and music, we need to found an actual organization that's going to help this to go. And so this makes the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra the second oldest orchestra in the United States of America. New York was the first with the New York Symphonic Society. And what's interesting is to see the way that the symphony has grown and become from a local orchestra into a national orchestra and then a trend-setting orchestra and then an orchestra that has built an international reputation worldwide.
That's David Robertson, and we're talking about the Nine Network's two-part program on the contributions of St. Louis to America's music heritage. We're talking to Peter Martin and Patrick Murphy. And talking about classical music, I think the 442s is a really interesting local group. A couple of those performers, musicians, are from the symphony. The others from the Aaron Bodie group. I don't know. And say something about – what do you think, Peter?
I love the 442s. I actually did a little impromptu guest show with them two nights ago and at the Link Auction Galleries, just a kind of last-minute show. And I love playing with them. It's like playing with, you know, the greatest, most refined classical players, but they have like the heart and soul of improvising jazz, bluegrass, country guys that'll just come in and be real flexible. And you can, you know, in the middle of my solo, I made a motion with my hand, which basically you can't see because this is radio, of course. Uh-huh. But it's like twirling where you're saying, do another chorus. And you can, you know, I've played with symphony orchestras. I can never get away with that because they're going to keep reading. These guys knew exactly, we'll play it again. And so I love those guys.
They're all about breaking down walls. And like music is music. And if you love music, then it doesn't matter necessarily what genre you're coming from. It's two guys from the Aaron Bodie group, two guys from the St. Louis Symphony, and I think we're going to be hearing from Bjorn Ronheim, who is the a cellist with the symphony.
Yep.
Some of the symphony's younger musicians are combining classical music with other genres. The 442s consist of symphony cellist Bjorn Ronheim and violinist Sean Wild, and jazz pop musicians Adam Manis and Sid Rodway from the Aaron Bodie group. As they experiment, break down traditional barriers and learn from each other, they're creating new sounds, new music.
There's a certain formality that the classical tradition brings to any endeavor. But when you take that classical training and that, you know, shedding of notes and really honing technique, and you combine that with so many of the wonderful musics of the world, I mean, not just jazz, but folk and American-style music and Southern or South American music even, I think when you kind of bridge these boundaries, you don't have just classical music. You have this whole kind of idea, and it opens up these boundaries, and it takes genres that are so kind of closed off, and it kind of blows them open. And I think what we're seeing today...
And that's from City of Music, the Nine Network City of Music, which is next Monday and Tuesday night. And a whole bunch of other people we're going to hear from, like Timothy O'Leary from Opera Theater, and who else? I think also the Alarmal Sound.
Alarmal Sound, yeah, a 20-piece group, sort of the cutting edge of new music. I think the New York Times proclaimed them the future of classical music.
Mm. No pressure.
Gene Dobbs Bradford. What are some
Jazz
of the elements, Patrick, maybe we haven't mentioned?
Billy Peak.
Oh, absolutely.
That was a nice – he's on the show, right?
Larry Morris and the Ilphonics, doing some hip-hop. Because I don't know if everybody knows that St. Louis is a huge early generator of hip-hop music. Yep. and rap. A couple of world premieres also by Stefan Freund, also a cellist. Right. He does a piece called Con Influences. And, of course – let's talk just for a moment about your piece.
We only have a few moments left, but Peter, I do want you to mention that.
I wrote a piece that was commissioned by Sheldon and the Alarmal Sound called Miles Revision, and this was the world premiere of it, and I had such a good time. I didn't play on it. I let them play it, and I sat back and listened.
When you say Miles, you're talking about Miles Davis.
Miles Davis, yeah, because you know this is 250 years of. There's probably nobody bigger in terms of a brand name for St. Louis music, and rightfully so in terms of the lineage and the influence on so many musicians here and all throughout the country and the world.
I'm talking with jazz pianist and composer Peter Martin and Patrick Murphy of the Nine Network. One local artist featured in City of Music we haven't mentioned, Kim Massey.
Kim Massey is amazing. She owns that stage when she's on it.
Oh yeah, Kim is the best, and that was a very, very special performance.
And of course, R&B is a part of the tradition in St. Louis music, and she really belts out a couple of Tina Turner songs.
Oh yeah,
let's listen to this clip from City of Music.
Did somebody say she look good? Understand that the touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That is only a thrill. Boy meeting girl, opposites attract. It's physical, only logical. But you must try to ignore that. More than that. Oh, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? May seem to you that I'm acting confused when you're close to me. If I tend to look dazed, red is someplace I've got cause to be. It's a miracle. There's a phrase that fits. But whatever the reason, do it for me.
And that's Kim Massey from the Nine Network City of Music, which will be airing Monday and Tuesday nights as a two-part series on the Nine Network. Let me hit the particulars. The Nine Network presents City of Music. Part 1 will be Monday night at 7 o'clock. Part 2, Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. And then both segments will be played back-to-back on March the 25th, beginning at 8 o'clock, right?
Right.
So I can't wait to see it. It looks like a fascinating exploration of the music heritage here, and we all should, if we don't, realize the role that St. Louis has played in that. And the people all over the world really
recognize it. I don't know if I can say this or not, but I really like it. I think it's a really good program.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun. And DVR-able, right? There's nothing stopping people from throw that DVR and watch it at your leisure.
And we haven't picked a distributor yet, but we're going to distribute it because I think it's important that the rest of the country also knows that St. Louis is making these contributions.
Well, Patrick Murphy, I'm a big fan of the Nine Network, so thanks.
And I'm
it's
a
good
big
to
fan
see you
of KWMU.
Again. Thank you.
I'm a big fan of both. There you go.
We're a big fan of you, man.
Hey, Peter, I love you too. Peter,
I love Martin. You guys.
Oh, boy. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you, Steve.
Coming up next on Cityscape, Black and Blue. This is St. Louis Public Radio.